What's the best thing you've ever got for free? Maybe you found some special giveaway deal or some random generosity of a friend or a stranger or something. Can you think of something? I actually found it really hard to answer that question. I thought of the question to ask you at the beginning of my homily and then was like, oh, I don't actually know the answer myself. And I was trying to like qualify every answer I did come up with. I was like, oh, you get kind of gifts or presents, birthday or Christmas or whatever, but then there's this kind of like give and take. Like if I give you a present, you should give me a present for my birthday. So I kind of discounted all of them. Or I'm like, people give us stuff because we're priests. I'm like, okay, there's a reason for that. It's not like totally out of the blue. Or like my parents give me stuff, but it's their job. They're my parents. But there was one thing that I thought of that came to mind. So maybe it's not the best thing I've ever received, but it was a free gift. I was about 7 years old and I was going to the football with my dad. Now, North Melbourne were playing, and so I've grown up in Melbourne. Think of a little boy growing up in Melbourne and how important football is to him in his mind. It's like religion, but so much more important. So I was there, we were outside the MCG, waiting before we go in, and my dad was there chatting with some other men, and I was just milling around nearby somewhere. This man comes up to me, and he's like, "Hey kid, here you go, have a football." He hands me a brand new red full-size leather Sharon. This is the game ball that they use in the AFL matches. And I'm like, oh, wow. And my dad turns around and realizes who this stranger is. He's a North Melbourne club legend, Ron Joseph. He's, you know, done so much for the club over decades. And he's like, oh my goodness, wow. And then he turns around, sees another man walking past. Another North Melbourne club legend, two-time Brownlow medalist, Norm Smith medalist, captain, premiership player, All-Australian, Keith Gregg, happened to be wandering past at that point. So Dad calls him over, and he comes and signs the ball. And I'm just still like, wow. That was pretty cool. And I don't know if it's the best free thing I've ever received, but that was just like, for me as a little boy, that something so special would happen to me. Even remembering it now, it has like such an impact on me, like some sort of affirmation or something. Like I never asked for that. I didn't do anything to deserve it. I didn't bring it about at all. If you had told me it was going to happen, I probably wouldn't have even believed it. But wow, it gives me a sense of kind of wonder of how could this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? Like this seemingly random gesture. I don't know why Ron picked me out of all the other kids that were around at the footy that day. This random gesture made such an impact on me, gave me such a sense of being affirmed, being seen, being blessed. So, a pretty cool free gift. So I'm not sure if you were able to think of an answer to that question. You can keep pondering it all day. But it's good that we kind of stop and be grateful for little gifts like this, little moments like this, because most often we don't think about the good things and we're grateful. We spend a lot more of our time thinking about what we don't have, don't we? Or worrying about what we don't have, yeah? I think we spend a lot of our lives with a mentality of scarcity. There's not enough and I don't have what I need. There's not enough money, I don't have enough time, there aren't enough jobs, I haven't had enough sleep, all of these things. And that's just some of the externals that we worry about of this scarcity, but there's the internal reality as well, isn't there? I can't receive enough love. I can't receive enough respect. I don't feel I get enough rest or I have enough strength or I have enough control over my life. There never seems to be enough to satisfy. There's never enough for us to be secure. Whatever it is, there's never enough. And this mentality of scarcity, I think, really ties us down in a number of ways. One way is that we actually become suspicious of anything that is free. Yeah? What's the catch? Why are they giving me this? I heard someone say recently that if you get anything for free, it's not free, but you are the product. Which is like, okay, I watch YouTube videos for free because I don't pay for it. I don't have a premium thingo, which means I have to put up with ads. So it's free for me because YouTube is selling me to the advertisers. Yeah, I'm actually being kind of used. They don't realize that I have avowed poverty and I don't have any money to buy all the things they're advertising. But there's this mentality that says that, oh, there's not that much goodness out there. People won't actually just be generous to you. If we think of just the phrase, it's too good to be true, suggests that, okay, there's not that much goodness, and why do you expect that it would come to you? So we should be suspicious of all these things. The other way that this scarcity ties us up is that we can't actually even enjoy the things that we do get. A good experience comes to us, or we receive something good that we should enjoy, and our belief is so strong that this isn't going to last, this is going to be taken away, or this is going to run out, that we can't even enjoy the thing in the moment, can we? Either we just get wound up in the fear of this is going to be taken away, I'm going to be left empty again, and so I can't enjoy it, or I think, okay, this is going to run out soon, so I have to enjoy it so intensely that I'm like kind of gobbling up this experience. It's a kind of binge sort of mentality. And then we're not actually enjoying it in the moment because we're too kind of intense about it. Either way, we're not even enjoying the good things that come to us because they're not going to last because of this belief that there's not enough. Now, it's a tragedy when this is robbing us of these good things in our life, these many blessings. But how much more of a tragedy is it when this way of thinking also impacts our relationship with God? And it does impact our relationship with God. We start to think of God's blessing as limited. We think, okay, he's only got so much goodness to share around. Or, okay, he's blessed me in a number of ways recently, which means surely he's about to leave me into a patch of darkness and emptiness. Because, you know, he's got to be fair with people and kind of give and take. Or God's only going to give me the blessing when I've been really holy. Or when I've been really patient. Or when I've done all the right things and the right steps in the right way. See, so even God's goodness comes under this mentality that there's not enough to go around. That it will never really satisfy us, that we're going to be left empty again at the end of the day. Well, I've got some good news for you. I'd hope so. It's Easter Sunday. There's good news. Jesus is risen. Jesus wants to share his life with us, and this blessing doesn't run out. What the resurrection means, what the empty tomb means for us, is that God wants to bless us, give us his life, and that is never going to run out. There is no limit to the life that God wants to share with us, to the blessings that he wants to pour into our lap. Come to the water, the Lord says in the prophet Isaiah. He says, come to the water, everybody. If you're thirsty, just come and drink. If you don't have any money, come. Come and buy food, buy wine and milk and corn and all of these things. Doesn't matter if you don't have money, just come and eat and drink like an unending banquet. Now, the good news is, of course, more than just about food and drink. He says, come and listen to me and your soul will live. The Lord wants to bring us to life. He wants us to tap into a stream of life flowing from him that is never ending, that we can tap into every single day, blessing upon blessing upon blessing. It's never going to run out, never going to stop flowing. This is the promise that we celebrate today. Now, I'm not saying that this isn't like the prosperity gospel, that you're all going to win the lottery tomorrow and we'll all become millionaires. It's not what I'm suggesting at all. Life still has its ups and downs, its joys and its challenges and sorrows and triumphs. But even they are places of blessing. Yeah, we've just commemorated Jesus' death on the cross, but we called it Good Friday because Jesus went there, and even death he made into a place of blessing and gift. Jesus has made it so that even if we find ourselves facing death or destruction or pain or isolation or rejection or abandonment, whatever it is, Jesus has made that a place of grace and blessing. so that we can always be drawing from his life, this life that flows even out of the tomb, out of the grave. Paul understood this. He understood this secret of living out of the life flowing from the resurrection. He says, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of being hungry, of having nothing and of having everything. He knew that no matter what was going on in his life, no matter what the external circumstances looked like, he was connected to Christ and the life of the resurrection could flow within him and he would never be wanting. This gift is so amazing. This is the greatest free gift that we could ever receive. Nothing we could do to earn it or deserve it or ask for it. Wow. But it's kind of hard to receive. It's kind of so good that we don't know what to do in the face of it. We come before this beautiful, majestic reality of the resurrection today and we're like, what do I do here? How do I receive this? We're kind of lost. But we see the same thing of the disciples. They didn't know what to do in the face of the resurrection either. Every one of the resurrection accounts, the disciples don't know how to respond. They're not kind of all controlled and dignified and in command of the situation. They're confused and they're not aware of what's going on and they're speechless or they're doubtful or they're amazed or they're disoriented because the resurrection is beyond us and it should confound us. It's too much for us to handle. So what can we possibly do when we come before this incredible gift, this incredible abundance, this incredible generosity that God wants to give us? How do we possibly do anything to receive that, to respond to that? A good place to start is to say thank you. There's something really humble about just saying thank you for a gift, particularly if it's something that we haven't deserved, we can't repay. If there's nothing we can do to kind of to display our gratitude, to kind of measure up to the gift that's been given, it's a very humble, vulnerable situation to kind of stand in, to just say, okay, all I can do is say thank you. I think of myself as a little boy standing there with this amazing gift of the football and Keith Greggs just signed it and I couldn't have deserved that. I didn't ask for it. There's nothing I could do for these men. And I was just standing there just sort of stunned, a little bit shy. And my dad had to say, well, go on, say thank you. Say thank you to the nice man. So I probably did. I'm a good boy. But I want to invite you to do the same. Jesus has broken out of the tomb today and has given us this invitation to share in his life, to receive from him and enter into this communion, this never-ending stream of blessing that we can tap into every day of our life. If there's nothing else we can do as we stand before this awesome mystery, let's just be humble enough to say thank you. Gratitude is such an essential part of the Christian life. And there's something profoundly beautiful about it because when we say thank you, when we express our gratitude, it has to recognize the giver. The very word, thank you. It's a relational thing. It's a relational expression. And so just by expressing our thanks, we open our hearts to God, who's the giver of this wonderful gift. We open our hearts to receive that life that he wants to pour into us. For many years, I would start my prayer in the morning every day just by writing down, thank you, Lord, for a good night's sleep. Thank you, Lord, for that conversation I had with so-and-so yesterday. Thank you, Lord, for the nice warm weather and the bike ride I got to go for. Simple little things. But gratitude opens us up to the abundance of blessings that's flowing from our Father, flowing from Jesus and the life of his resurrection. We can even say, thank you, Lord, for my grief. Thank you, Lord, for my pain and my frustration and my loneliness and for the comfort that you've brought me in them. Thank you for the strength that you've built in me through these experiences. Thank you for your presence walking alongside me. We come before an awesome mystery today. We celebrate a gift that's just unfathomable, impossible for us to grasp. If we come to Easter Sunday trying to understand the resurrection, we're going to go away very frustrated. But if we come with gratitude, if we come today with hearts humble enough to just go, wow, thank you, Lord, then we can open up to this gift that the Lord wants to pour out, blessing upon blessing upon blessing every day of our lives. As Jesus, you are risen, and you invite me to share in this fount of life, this risen life, the life of God. Wow. Thank you.